Hello, my friends. Good evening. Welcome into this edition of JMAC Live. So glad that you are joining me tonight. It is Thursday, right? Tomorrow's an Aloha Friday, so that's fantastic. Hope you have big plans for the weekend. David and Mary Jane checking in from Sandy. Hello, guys. I know you emailed me about Tuesday's show, and I was out of pocket at the time. So I apologize. Jason Stump already liking the stream. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it. Thank you for joining us this evening. I do want to let those of you know who are with me, I'm normally live every Tuesday and Thursday night at 9:30. If you can't catch those broadcasts remain posted on YouTube, Facebook, LinkedIn, all of the social media channels. But I've got a lot of things going on right now. I can't share all of them with you yet, but it does mean that on occasion I am probably over the next few weeks going to miss a Tuesday or a Thursday night broadcast. So forgive me if I can't be here with you live. I will plan on releasing some pre-recorded content during that time. But so just so you know, I can't commit to every Tuesday and Thursday night. But you're going to love the reason why. I promise you, you're going to love the reason why. Just working on some things that I cannot announce quite yet. But I did, I've got some things coming up for you. I did a fascinating interview today with a company that has a new testing system that could actually, believe it or not, could actually tell you if you're going to respond to COVID in a negative way. Like, wouldn't you like to know which type of person you would be with COVID? Would you be the asymptomatic? Would you be the light symptoms? Would you be the hospitalization? Wouldn't you like to know if, based upon your genetics, you could know how you'd respond to COVID? What if that was possible for any disease or illness that was out there? And what if medications could be tailored just for you? Well, there is a company on the forefront of technology right now that is accomplishing this very thing. It's very cool. I did the interview with them today. I'm going to edit it up. I will release it early next week. And it's exciting. But, you know, because I've kind of decided, you know, I just don't want to sit here and kind of be negative all the time and just debunk COVID myths and those types of things. How about we find out about some of the promising things that are around the corner? How about we, you know, not just be doom and gloom all the time, because it seems like that is what we're getting right now. It's doom and gloom all the time. So I'm going to make it a point to try and bring you some of those cool things that are coming around the corner. And I'm excited about being able to do that with you. We are asking some questions tonight. The first is, do you agree with the Supreme Court's decision on the vaccine mandate? If you've listened to me at all, you know the answer. You know my answer anyway. And also, should we get rid of the filibuster? These are two national important issues. I think they have a dramatic impact on our health, on our society, on the way we are governed. And I would also love to talk about anything else that is on your list tonight. So feel free to chime in, put a question in the comments, say hello, and also do me a favor, go to jmcfarland.com and join the members club if you haven't already. There's great content that I post just there for our members. And you can also watch anything commercial free, which is always nice. That helps support me and helps me bring this content to you on a regular basis. All right, so should we dive into the Supreme Court decision? I will tell you, I should, you know, if I had a producer and you know, had all the resources in the world, I would have them going back to my previous broadcasts, and they would have been keeping track of timestamps where I have said certain things, and would have been able to pull up and me show you what I believe the Supreme Court should decide, and I predicted what they would decide. And in this case, I was right, and I'll bet many of you were right as well. I don't think it took a crystal ball to find out how they would decide. But a lot of people felt that they were going to allow this because the Supreme Court has allowed colleges and other organizations to have a vaccine mandate. And so they thought, well, it'll only be logical that they will allow the federal government to have a mandate. Not so fast. In fact, if you read into these rulings, I think the Supreme Court has been very consistent here. I hear people crying and clamoring that this is a Trump Supreme Court, and I would caution you to stay away from that. I would like us all to look at these decisions for what they are and not presuppose that we know that what they're saying isn't really what they mean. There's some deeper seated meaning here. I think that the court should be judged by what the court does, not by who nominated them. I hate that we already classify the judges as left-leaning or right-leaning. I hate that because this court was supposed to be above all of that. But of course, not even the Supreme Court can be above the political pressures of the world. So what was my prediction? My prediction was that they would turn down Biden's vaccine mandate. And in fact, here in the state, when the legislature was freaking out about it, when I heard from local employers who were freaking out about it, my answer to them was, let this take its course. When the state legislature wanted to chime in and pass preemptive legislation, my message to them was, let this take its course. And the reason why I want it to take its course is so we have ultimate clarity on the issue. We now do, because it went its course. So let's go to the decision. Let's see if I can bring this up. I'll just bring up Yahoo News. That's kind of small there. Let me see if I can enlarge it a little bit. All right. The Supreme Court on Thursday stopped the Biden administration from implementing a vaccine or test mandate on large businesses, but it did allow a vaccine mandate for most healthcare workers in the country. In a 6-3 ruling, the court's conservative majority knocked down the White House's proposal that all private businesses of 100 employees or more needed to require vaccinations for COVID-19 or subject unvaccinated workers to regular testing. The rule had been challenged by Republican-controlled states and pro-business groups. OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, this is the quote from the majority, said OSHA has never before imposed such a mandate, nor has Congress. Indeed, although Congress has enacted significant legislation addressing the COVID-19 pandemic, it has declined to enact any measure similar to what OSHA has promulgated here. This is an important point. First, let me see if I can get your comments a little bit better in the screen there. Karina Donahue Johnson says, I agree 100% with the dissent. I don't, and I'll tell you why. What the Supreme Court is supposed to do, and the only thing the Supreme Court is supposed to do, is to rule on constitutionality. It is not their job to rule on wise policy. They're not supposed to be policy wonks at all. That's the job of the legislature. The legislature passes and enacts laws. In fact, that is reserved solely to the legislature. It is not reserved to the president, and it is not reserved to the judicial branch. So in its purest sense, according to the way the Constitution is written, the Supreme Court is simply supposed to say, is this constitutional or isn't it constitutional? Does the federal government have this authority or don't they have the authority? It is irrelevant, it should be, as to whether or not it is good policy. Policy should be decided by people who we vote on. on a regular basis. They're the ones who decide policy, not the Supreme Court. And that's exactly what the Supreme Court says here in this quoted section. OSHA has never before imposed such a mandate, nor has Congress. Indeed, although Congress has enacted significant legislation addressing the COVID-19 pandemic, it has declined to enact any measure similar to what OSHA has promulgated here. The Supreme Court is saying there is an authority here. That authority has already passed several times legislation around the vaccines and around the virus and the pandemic. At no time did that legislative body choose to enact this mandate. Now, one of the things that people who are pro-state government or pro-originalists when it comes to the Constitution, one of the things that we don't like is when legislation is passed outside of the legislative process, because it becomes very hard to impact that legislation. And this happens all the time. You give, some authority to one of the executive branches, you know, something in their purview, and then they pass rules. Those rules are law. But is there any accountability to those rules or to those laws? It's a stretch. It's a complete long shot. And that's why you, in general, don't want to have that situation. In all cases, or as many as we can get, we want there to be somebody that we can hold accountable via our vote, right? Except when it comes to the Supreme Court, and they're supposed to be above all of this, okay? So the question should never be, is it good policy for President Biden to mandate that? That is not even close to the question that the Supreme Court was supposed to ask themselves. If you look in the dissent, they talk about wise policy and how you should be listening to the health experts. That is a demonstration that they are going outside of their function. That's not your job. It's just not. And anytime you hear anybody on the Supreme Court on either side talk about how something is wise policy or this is a way that government should be run, you should immediately go, wait a minute, that's not your job. That's not your job. Back away from the legislating. That's not your job. And so as much as you may want all employers to be forced to do this, you have to say, where in the Constitution does it allow for that? And in my opinion, much of what OSHA is and does is a violation of the 10th Amendment. And those things should be reserved for the states unless you can prove that they are under interstate commerce, not international commerce, interstate commerce. And so this has always been a question about authority for me. Now, President Biden said he called on individual states and businesses to institute their own safety mandates. He said, I am disappointed that the Supreme Court has chosen to block common sense life-saving requirements. Did he say constitutional requirements? See, this is the thing. We can't allow ourselves to get into a place where if it's common sense or even life-saving, that means we can go outside of the way the Constitution is written. And this is what people do on both sides of the aisle. They love the Constitution until it's something that's dear to them, and then they suddenly forget about it, right? Now, President Biden, I know for a fact, was told that this would be a dubious order, and that there was a good chance that it would be challenged legally and that he would lose that challenge. He chose to do it anyway. He says, the court has ruled that my administration cannot use the authority granted to it by Congress to require this measure. But that does not stop me from using my voice as president to advocate for employers to do the right thing to protect Americans' health and economy. He's right about that. He has a bully pulpit. That's what he should have been doing the whole time. I've told you that I felt like this was the type of policy that would work against itself. Sounds good, but you have to talk about and be aware of unintended consequences. The minute you turn something into a federal mandate is the minute that a certain percentage of the people immediately say they're not going to do it. And that's the moment it becomes a legal issue instead of a common sense issue. I think that legislators and obviously presidents, they get too attached to their lawmaking. And they believe that the only way to have an impact is through lawmaking. And so I have to have a mandate here. There are times when that activity works against itself. And in my opinion, this is one of those times. I think it was obvious to many of us that a mandate would actually cause more harm than good. So what you did is you gave people on the right a chance to rise up and cry civil rights and to file lawsuits. And what you didn't do is create a situation where people maybe were listening to your appeal to humanity. We skip right over that. And this to me is a problem that often occurs on both sides of the aisle with political leadership. We have to have a law. Is there no other way to accomplish this? And can we not understand that oftentimes a law or a mandate works against itself? And sometimes an appeal to humanity is a much better, wiser path here. What happened in this case is he didn't do an appeal to that side of the aisle. He actually gave them a reason to rise up against him. Now, I'm not foolish enough to believe that he could have done much to get to the far right, you know, because they've already decided Biden is the great evil and you can't listen to him. But that doesn't mean you give them more to latch onto. You know what I mean? That doesn't give them more. That is basically my take on the Supreme Court decision here. This is for the legislature and it's for the states. And if the states haven't gone the way that you want them to, well, you know, that's what happens when you live in a government where the states have given up certain authority, but not all of their authority. And that's how we have to constantly reframe what our government is. People think that it's a hierarchy, that the federal government is here and it's in charge of all of the states. That's not the way it works, my friends. And we have to constantly be reminding ourselves about the true construct of our government. The federal government was granted certain authorities, and they were granted that by the states. The states said, we recognize that there are some things where we need a federal authority. And so we're going to give them certain powers, all right? Those powers are described as carefully as possible in the Constitution and in the Bill of Rights. But if you read the document, it should become very clear to you that the Constitution is not a description of states' powers. It's not a description of your rights. The Constitution is a limitation on the federal government. Just read it. Congress shall pass no law respecting the establishment of religion. The Constitution is it's a safety collar on the federal government to make sure that it only does those things that the states have given it authority to do. That's why the very last amendment in the Bill of Rights says those things not stated in the Constitution are reserved for the states. That's the states literally saying, you can only do the things we gave you authority to do, man, and everything else is reserved to us. But we've allowed ourselves to believe that somehow it's the federal government and they're the boss of the states. No. They are the boss of the states in things that are clearly stated in the document. Anything outside of that is reserved for the states. And I mean anything. That's why the federal government, in my opinion, now my opinion backed up by the Supreme Court, cannot issue a vaccine mandate on employers. But states can. Because that is reserved for the states, and there's nothing in the Constitution that says states can't do that. So if the state of Utah wants to put a vaccine mandate on all employers, they have every authority to do that. And in fact, if you look at the rulings from the Supreme Court, you will find that they have supported businesses and states that want to put in these mandates. In fact, I have some of those here in this same story. The high court was supportive of most mandates last year. In December, it allowed a New York State vaccine mandate for all healthcare workers to stand. The court had previously declined to block New York City's vaccine mandate for public school teachers, as well as Indiana University's similar mandates for students, in addition to mandates for healthcare workers in Maine and Massachusetts. So some people are saying the court is not being consistent here. And I'm like, no, wait a minute. The courts are being exactly consistent here. They're saying the federal government doesn't have the authority to do this, but states do, because this is not prohibited by the Constitution. We have to constantly guard against the belief or understanding that the federal government is the boss of states in all things. They are not. And I have articulated to you before why there is such genius in this construction of our government. And I will share it with you one more time in case you've missed it. The genius of it is, and I don't know if they intended this or not, but the genius of it is that it keeps the majority of the power close to the people. Now think about this. When something becomes federalized, how much ability do you have to impact any change on that? Virtually none. But if it's left for the states, how much ability do you have to impact change on it? A lot more. What if it's left for the counties? Now what ability do you have to impact? Okay, even more. What if it's left for the cities? What if it's left for the school boards? See, to me, local is one of the most important keys to representation. The more local, the more you have actual representation. The more federal, the less representation you actually have. And that's why we must always resist the temptation to federalize something. Because the minute it becomes federalized, odds are it's going to become politicized and we're never going to be able to change it again. And a perfect example is the Affordable Care Act. The Affordable Care Act was rushed through when a moment when they could get the votes, only to never be changed again because it's such a political football. Now, is that good policy? Is that wise to put something as important in the hands of a political body that you have the least amount of control over? Or doesn't it make more sense for your state to decide if they want some type of, California is looking at it right now. they're looking at some type of universal health care. And on a state level, the citizens of California can much better make that choice for themselves. So every single time you hear the federal government, somebody in the federal government saying, we need this program, we need that program, what you should be hearing, in my opinion, is you should lose this representation and you should lose this ability to change that in the future. Why in the world would you want to put anything that is currently a state power into the hands of a federal government that cannot be controlled? And it is my opinion that those people who we send to Washington, we should not be sending them there to build a bunch of federal programs and to take away states' authority. What we should be doing is sending them there to protect state authority and to only allow those things to pass that fall within the confines of the founding document. Understanding that the more federal it becomes, the less representation you will have. And so to me, it's not even an issue of, is it a liberal program? Is it a social program? I don't care. My question is it a state program and a state authority not to be touched or infringed by the federal government? And so this, in my opinion, this case that went to the Supreme Court was about that issue. Not is it good policy, because you know me, I actually think that there comes a point in time where the health issue is so dire, where there are so many people being infected that it starts to overwhelm the whole. And we're seeing that now with Omicron, with 12,000 cases in a single day. You're seeing an entire healthcare system being overwhelmed. And people who need other procedures and other things can't get it. And now we may have beds, but we can't staff those beds because the illness is running through our first responders and our healthcare workers, as well as those people who are out there getting it. So, in my opinion, on a state level, we have reached a point where I can understand Salt Lake County putting back in a mask mandate. But isn't it easier to fight a mandate on a local level? Don't those of you who live in Salt Lake County, don't you know who exactly you can go after with your vote and your campaign? If you don't like that mandate, doesn't that feel like something more that you can accomplish? It should, because it is. Rather than replacing a president who has just broad-brushed an entire law or an entire mandate or Congress that you have four members of against all of those other people. I mean, think about that. Where do you have the most ability to impact what is happening? Locally, my friends, locally. So I'm very glad that today the Supreme Court kept that authority local. Let's see. Let's back up here. Some of you guys have been chiming in here. Karina, if you are still with me, I would love to hear, after you heard my explanation, what you think about the dissent, because you said you agreed with the dissent. I'd love to hear some feedback. Orion says, our government and leaders have been derelict with their duties regarding the pandemic. I don't think the SCOTUS decision really amounts to much, just one more failure. Well, again, with the failure, we have a remedy to government failure. The founders gifted us with that remedy. That remedy is representation. And I will continue to share with anybody who wants to hear it that if your leaders are failing you and they continue to be your leaders, then it is not the leaders who are to blame. It is those who vote for those leaders. So if this is a call to action, let it be. It should be a call to change who we vote for. it should be a call to change who we support with our dollars. Orion says, though the Constitution says how things are supposed to be, reality is never what things are supposed to be. I think one of the key flaws of conservatism is getting hung up on supposed to be. I don't agree with you, Orion. I think that you have to try and adhere to the document as written. If you stray from that because you're not getting your way with elected officials or they're failing on policy, if you move away from that, then you have no standard. The only way that we can maintain any level of standard is by sticking to the document as much as we can. The document can be changed, has been changed. And so we should never say, oh, we're not getting what we want from the document, so let's just ignore it. Okay, that's a recipe for the failure of our country. What we should be saying is the people are failing, so let's replace the people or let's amend the document. Anytime we ignore the document, we are diminishing and diluting the document. And that's why I say that so many people are like, my constitutional rights when it comes to one thing, but when it comes to something else, they just ignore the document completely. It serves them when they want it to serve them. I think that you have to accept the good, the bad, and the ugly with the document. And if you don't like it, then change the document or change the people who are representing the document. Some of you are typing very long responses. I cannot promise that I will get to them. Jason says, the branches are out of balance and the executive overreaches like a glutinous mountain gorilla out of spider monkey fruit. this is something I've been talking about for years. You're exactly right. We saw this. We've seen this with just about any president that I can remember. A president campaigns on a certain platform. They get voted in. Then they realize they can't just pass laws unilaterally. And so they try and work with Congress, and then they don't get what they want from Congress. So then they're like, well, I'm just going to get out the pen, and I'm just going to use executive order. And all of that dilutes the document, right? All of it dilutes the document. Let's see. Mike asking about the assessment of 100,000 kids in serious condition of ventilators. Not going there right now, but I have a bunch of stories saved up about kids, the increase of kids needing medical care because of COVID right now. Not because Omicron is more contagious. Let me state that. Not because Omicron is more deadly, but because it's more contagious. So more kids are absolutely being hospitalized. I can throw a link in here. I've probably got 15 stories about it. Orion says, we're supposed to have separate checks and balances in government. The system is so broken. The legislative branch is making policy, not because it's supposed to be that way, but because it is. Do you mean the judicial branch is making policy? Because a legislative branch, you must have typed that incorrectly. The legislative branch is supposed to make policy. That is specifically their job. The judicial branch is not supposed to be making policy. That is not their job. Mike says, hey, you trimmed the beard. Yeah, but it's been a while, Mike. You haven't been joining us lately. It's almost time. My wife is on me again. Let's see. Long comments from Taryn. He says, well, there you go again. Once again, Republicans have doomed us. We are so effed. And the worst part of it all is that when all of their ignorant decisions and ideology causes 100 million people to die, they will blame Democrats. I think that after everything that the Republican Party has done, they will not be held accountable. This is about to get a lot worse. We are in an effing pandemic, but we have one party that pretends that we're not. Watch what happens when there are no more customers because they are all dead. You want to know why? There's a shortage of workers. Almost 1 million Americans have died. from COVID, and most were low-wage workers. That's why we need to vote out all of these ignorant, evil, you know what. So, wow, a lot to unpack there. Most of the people who died were people with comorbidities, and they were 65 or older. I'm going to guess they weren't part of that low-wage pool, but, you know, maybe I'm wrong about that. Anybody listening to this show, you know that I left the Republican Party because of their participation in the downplaying of COVID and their upplaying of election lies. So I just want to make sure that we're honest in our assessments as we talk about it. There is no doubt in my mind that more people have died because of Republicans downplaying this virus. No doubt. But that's not all Republicans. And so I think it's important to always try and have clarity in what we're talking about and not try and broad brush everybody. There are a lot of Republicans who listen to this show who are not happy with many of their Republican leadership, but they're not sure what to do about it because they still don't want to support the core policies and principles of the left. So what do they do when their leadership is participating in these election lies and these COVID lies, but they don't have anywhere to go? So it's a huge conundrum that a lot of people find themselves in. I left the party. I joined the United Utah Party just this last week. I announced that I joined the United Utah Party. I think that we've got to find a place for them to go. And I hope that if they want to, that they try and create change within their own party. Here in the state of Utah, we have some wonderful, awesome people running against some of our Utah delegation who have participated in these very activities that I'm talking about. We have to choose different. We have to choose different. I will tell you, Taryn, if that's how you say your name, one of the side effects that Republicans need to be worried about is that the vast majority of people who are dying are the unvaxxed. And who are the unvaxxed? Who do they tend to be politically? So you can only participate in this process for so long before your numbers have dwindled just from death. So that needs to be something that are thought about. Orion says, I meant to say judicial branch. I thought you did, Orion, because that didn't make sense. Mike says, to the potty mouth, your assessment is way off there, sir. Breathe, put the CNN down. Mike and Tyrone, it doesn't do any of us any good when we use expletives, when we assault those who disagree with us, or when we dismiss what they have to say by saying, stop listening to CNN. I could very easily say, stop listening to Fox or whatever. These are all distractions. If we can put a label on it, we don't have to deal with it. And so once again, I'm trying to point out to both sides that there is truth out there, and it is not the entire Republican Party that is participating in this behavior. And I think, based upon what I hear and say, there is a large portion of the Republican Party that doesn't like it, but they're not sure what to do about it. So I would encourage you to be more specific when you talk about who it is that is perpetuating these things, and that you give Republicans out there who are trying to figure this out a place and something. I guess what I want to say is the ability to breathe. You will never change anybody's mind with the expletives and the name calling. You will never advance any agenda with that. And when you lead with that, you're guaranteeing that nobody is going to consider what you have to say. All you're doing is participating in the continued divisiveness that has us so stymied. So I happen to believe that we can still change hearts and minds. I happen to believe that we can still put a dent in the issue. But I know for a fact, if I lead out, and if you disagree with me, and I lead out by calling you names and swearing at you, I'm pretty confident what the result of that will be. We have to change our tactics before we have any hope of changing hearts and minds. And I know you're angry. I know you're upset. But guess what? The other side is angry and upset about things that your side has done. We've got to step away from the anger. And I encourage you, anybody listening, go back to the podcast that I did a couple of weeks ago about how our opinions of the other side are so warped and so off. And the reason for that is because we don't spend any time with the other side. We don't give way to their thoughts or their opinions. We're taught that they're evil. We're taught that they all believe the same thing. And it's not true. The truth of America is that we are more in common and we agree more with each other than we disagree. The polling bears that out if you take the time to listen. But we are trained by the extremes to believe in just the extremes of the other side. And so if we're going to allow ourselves to get played emotionally, then we're going to be manipulated and we're going to end up participating in the very activities that lead to that division. We have got to rise above it. We have got to start listening and understanding. One of the things that information that I showed you, for example, it was a great survey. It asked Democrats if they support defunding the police. And then it asked Republicans how many or what percentage of Democrats do they believe in defunding the police. So it came back like only 20% of Democrats wanted any type of defunding of police. But what did conservatives say the percentage was? It's like 65%. How are we ever going to... And then it was the other side around. So they asked Republicans if they believe that there are officers who should be held accountable for police brutality. And then they asked Democrats, how many Republicans do you think will say that none of them should be held accountable? Democrats said they felt fully 65% of Republicans didn't want any accountability for police officers. The reality is the number was less than half of that. Now, how in the world are we going to bridge that gap and get anything done if we allow the extremes to convince us that the other side's extremes represent the whole? The reality is the majority of us are somewhere right here in the middle. And we've got these two extremes out here that are running the show. And they know that if we got together in the middle and we looked around and said, you know what? We kind of all have the same core beliefs. There are some subtle differences on the outside, but you know what? You mean you really don't want to defund the police? You mean you really are willing to talk about this? Immigration was one of those issues. Republicans feel like all Democrats, they want open borders. They want everybody to get a path to citizenship. They want illegals to vote. And they tell you the vast majority of people on the left want that. And then you survey and you find out it's not even close to a majority. That actually you find a large number of people on the left who appreciate some type of border security, who don't think that people should be rewarded with citizenship. They would like them to be able to stay if there's some way we can work that out. But we're allowing the extremes to tell us what everybody else thinks. And the reason that is wrong is because the extremes are in it for power. They don't want these issues to go away. They need these issues to pump you up and to get you so angry and so frustrated that they can manipulate you and they can take your dollars. My friends, we are mostly alike. I just cannot express that to you enough. And I can promise you that if you were in the room with some of these people that you're calling assholes and that you're expletives and you knew them on a daily basis, my bet is your opinion might be different, unless you're dealing with somebody caught up in those extremes. We've been played for far too long. We've been manipulated for far too long. And if you get caught up in that anger and that hatred, that is exactly where they want you. And I would suggest to you that every person in this country who has been considered a great leader, who we cherish and who we prop up in our history, not one of them peddled in fear, hatred, and anger. Not one of them. They all spoke to our better angels. They all sought to listen and unify and unite. All of them. But somehow now we've been led to believe that that's how you get things done. That that's the proper course. It's not, my friends. It's not. And if we do not stop allowing ourselves to get played and manipulated emotionally, then we're done. The extremes win. So this is what I've been spending my time doing, trying to figure out where can we go, how can we wake up the middle, which is where most of us live, and how can we take back the power from these extremes? The first way to take back the power is to stop letting them manipulate you and stop believing the nonsense that everything CNN does is bad, and everything Fox News does is good, and everything the left does is bad, and everything the right does is good, or the other way around. That is nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. You know, I'll give you a perfect example. Right now, we're assessing January 6th, and today they announced that they were charging sedition, conspiracy and sedition towards 10 people involved, which is the highest crime I've seen come out of that. But you hear a lot of people attacking those members of Congress who sought to delay the approval of the electoral vote. And I was against that. But you know that happened in 2016, right? You know that. You do, right? You know that a bunch of Democrat congressmen and women, on the day that the certification of Donald J. Trump was happening, you know that there were quite a few Democrat members of Congress who voted not to certify. You know this, right? Now, I'm not telling you this to justify what those insurrectionists did on January 6th, but I'm here to point out that what we consider to be this unbelievable thing that certain members of Congress did on January 6th, 2020, I didn't hear the cries against it on January of 2016, when the same thing was happening. This is about partisanship. This is not about principles. And there are very few situations where you can say that partisanship and extremism hasn't crept its way into the mainstream. So if we don't figure this out, my friends, those of us on the ground, if we don't figure this out, we're done. We are cooked. We are absolutely cooked. Let's see. Orion says, as far as Americans dying from the pandemic, they have generally been older, whiter, and Republican, not as many workers. Let's face it, the pandemic is killing the same demographic that is perpetuating it. Okay, Mike, I hope you're still with us, because you have fallen prey to the classic blunder. and I really think you need to reassess what you're sharing, okay? This may be down the rabbit hole, but I'm glad you're here for it. He says, now hang on. Recent statements by Michelle Walensky indicated that 75% of the deaths were those with more than four comorbidities, and upwards of 40% of the hospitals are in hospital with COVID, while there are far more serious ailments not of COVID. Mike, you have fallen for the classic editing blunder. She was not talking about all cases. Sorry. She was not. In fact, she was talking about the vaccinated and the 36 people who had died and that they had comorbidities. She was actually trying to, now she has been terrible in articulating what we need to hear, but she was trying to explain to you that there have been very few deaths in the vaccinated and that the deaths that have occurred had four or more comorbidities. Now, that was edited, spread around. People did not bother to find out the truth. And here you are spreading it. Go back and find out what she really said and stop spreading nonsense that kills people. Okay? Because that is nonsense. And it is deadly nonsense. Deadly nonsense. Here she is trying to prove to you why vaccines are so safe. Somebody else edited it, and now you're spreading it as a reason why vaccines are not safe. Don't do it, man. Don't do it. Let's see. Sebastian says, Jay, please tell us more about the party you enjoyed last week. I want to know more because I am tired for just two-party dominating the government. So I've decided to join the United Utah Party. You can go to unitedutahparty.org and find out more. You'll see their platform there. I have met with the leadership. They have convinced me that this is a viable path. They are small in the state of Utah. I feel that this is crazy. I feel that they are still guided by principle. And I am convinced that neither of the majority parties are guided by principle anymore. They are guided by power. I can give you examples on both sides. You look at the Republican leadership that came out the day after January 6th and excoriated President Trump for his participation in that, and have backwalked and crab-walked away from that call every day since. Did they do that because of principles? No, my friends. They did that because they realized that they might lose their job if they go against the lies, the election lies of President Trump. Now, if you are choosing to keep your job over saying what you know to be true and what you have already said, but you're now so afraid to lose your job that you're backpedaling, downplaying, and denying, then you are corrupt. You are corrupt. I don't know another definition for it. I really don't. Let's see, Sebastian, here in Utah, the Republicans are blocking all way to Democrats. That happened in SLC. I've talked about redistricting. I supported the redistricting commission. Although I told you many times when the redistricting commission was on the ballot that it was toothless and that the party, the Republican Party, would not listen to the redistricting commission because they didn't have to, and there would be no consequence for them not listening. That prediction so far is 100% true. My hope at the time would be that Utahns would look at that and say, wait a minute, 51% of Utahns wanted that. You could at least pretend like you looked at their maps. You could at least, you know, throw a nod. Instead, they set up all these straw man arguments that had nothing to do with the independent commission's maps. They knocked those down conveniently. People who didn't research the two maps said, oh yeah, that makes great sense. And so there's no accountability to that. Half of Utahns who voted, let's be clear, wanted that. They wanted an independent commission. Republican leadership in the state of Utah gave everybody the finger. Because they know there's no accountability for that. They're going to continue right down that path. So how on earth will we ever get that control back? It's not going to come from the Democrats, I'm afraid. It's got to come from principled people on the right. Principled. People who believe that it's more important to have fair elections with representation than it is for one party to maintain its power. Remember, I've told this to you over and over again, and I will continue to share it. There's only one reason that gerrymandering works. One reason. And that's because they know how you're going to vote before there is even a candidate involved. There's no genetic test to see who you're going to vote for. And if they had to come to you every time for your vote, they couldn't gerrymander. So there has got to be an awakening. You wanted an independent commission? They said no. They gave you the finger. Okay, what's next? What if they can't count on our vote anymore? What if they have to come to us? Then gerrymandering falls apart. And then suddenly you get your representation back. That's what needs to happen. Let's see here. Mike says, because the media is giving fuel to the extremists. I agree and disagree with that. I consume a lot of media. I can tell you that... many of the extremists are not making it on. But there is some of that going on right now. Davis says, Mike, it's literally a federal law to require to give out your Social Security number to register, which is a proof of citizenship. Look, I've presented, we're kind of going all over the place here, but it's just that kind of night, how I think you could improve voter security by using the blockchain. I think it's a viable solution, but I will continue to point out to anybody who asks that study after study, audit after audit, continues to conclude that there is no reason for widespread fear or panic about our electoral system. That doesn't mean that you can't shore it up more with voter ID, and I don't have a problem with voter ID as long as there is a way for anybody and everybody who wants it to get that voter ID. I think that's just the only issue. I think that there's common ground there. But both sides, what they will do, because they are the extremes, is one side will tell you that Republicans only want to suppress the vote. They are not interested in actual voter security. They are interested in chasing away opposition from the polls. And what does the right say about the left? The left doesn't want voter ID because they want to use anybody to vote because they want to steal elections from you. Now, if that number you shared is correct, that 80% want voter ID, what that tells me is pretty much everybody else is somewhere in the middle. But the extremes want the labels to stick of both sides so that we hate each other, so that we're angry with each other, and never do we meet in the middle to actually try and resolve the problem. Let's see. Mike says it was not edited. Mike, I challenge you to go back and to look at that entire statement from her. Because I am telling you, she was making a case for vaccine efficacy. And the number of 75% was not for all vaccinated. It was 75% comorbidity for the 36 who had died. That's what it was. So go back, find out the truth, and stop spreading lies. Let's see. Manuel says, Jay, love the show. This Christmas, I spent time with a family member whose vote's completely opposite from me. After a week, we shook hands and realized how similar we both are. Looking forward to Thanksgiving. Yeah, I have a feeling that didn't happen in every family environment. But what I can tell you is it will never happen as long as we embrace the attack first mentality. I can guarantee you that no common ground will ever be found if you've decided that those who disagree with you are dumb, ignorant, ulterior-minded, or evil. So don't lead with that. Don't ever use it. It provides no benefit whatsoever to society towards getting anything done. It only pushes us closer and closer to a divide that can no longer be settled at the ballot box. Some people want that. Some people want that. Sebastian says, I'm a Republican, but I am going for the principle. I don't agree with the current GOP all around Trump. I have a dream. Yeah. Mike says, what's your take on the New York City law allowing 800,000 non-citizens to vote in local elections? I think that they have the authority to do that on a state level. It's not something that I would do. I believe that there should be certain values associated with citizenship, and that those values should be protected. I want to offer that value to people. I think immigration is a very important part of our country and our soul and our history, and it's something that we actually need for our economy. But I want any of the benefits to come when things are done correctly. And I do and have published an immigration plan that allows those who are here illegally to stay, given paying a fine and given a lot of other comprehensive things that have to happen. I am not a fan of allowing people to vote who came here in bypassing the laws to get here. Not a fan of that. They have the authority to do that. If it was happening here, I would be fighting against it. They are not the first state to do that. So that's how I feel. Again, we're all down the rabbit hole, so everybody's sorry. I had one other thing to talk about. It was the filibuster. Biden saying we need to get rid of the filibuster for voting rights. I am 100% against getting rid of the filibuster. I think it saves us from insanity. I have never been a fan of one party having all of the control. I think that that is really bad, and I don't like it. So I like this kind of built-in thing that requires you to get some consensus. I think Democrats will regret the day that they do this, and the diminishing of the filibuster in the past has been done by both sides, and it's going to happen eventually. The filibuster will be gone, and I think we will lament it being gone because it anything that requires you to build a consensus, I like that. I like that. I think that's a good thing. A lot of people hate gridlock. I actually like gridlock if the people involved in the gridlock are forced to come together and build on common ground, but that's not what they do anymore. What they do is they purposefully divide. They purposely tell us why we're different. And that way they can fundraise and they can stay in power, but the issues never get solved. Because when you solve issues, your ability to divide and manipulate goes away. So we've de-incentivized actually coming up with solutions that benefit the vast amount of people. Mike, I am really looking for you to go back and figure out what she really said and apologize for spreading lies. David says, they have to be legal residents at least so I can understand it. Sebastian, thanks for your show. Your voice matters. Really appreciate it. Thank you, Sebastian. And you being here and participating really, really matters. Orion says the filibuster must die. Die, it must. Kill it with fire. Yes, Democrats will lament it, but it will benefit them both. I totally disagree. There's nothing constitutionally mandated by the filibuster. It is a Senate rule, so it can be gotten rid of. There's no doubt about that. So it's not an issue where I'm going to come out like I did with the Supreme Court and say, this is a constitutional issue. For me, it has saved us in the past, and it is saving us right now. Here's what I would say. Let's keep the filibuster until we can get back control of these parties and we can get the mainstream back into control. And then maybe you can get rid of the filibuster. But when we're in a world right now, you want to talk about whiplash. You take away the filibuster, and as we move back and forth from one party control to the next, you want to see whiplash in government and people being ginned up to fear, hatred, and anger. Man, you're going to facilitate that by getting rid of the filibuster. I mean, really facilitate it. So that's my take on the filibuster, Orion. What else you guys got tonight? See if... Mike says, do you think that reveals the fringe leftist Democrat desire for that to be allowed nationally? Mike, believe it or not, I understand why Democrats want illegals to vote. I would think that there are those who want it just because they think that it will perpetuate their power. But you know, illegal immigrants are mostly conservative. If the polling holds, family values, conservative. What forces them to the left is the desire by many in Republican leadership to have the absolute extreme policy of kicking every single person out or other similar policies. I know from my own experience campaigning that if you can get past that issue, you're going to find people who are much more on the right. And the only reason it benefits the left is because the right hasn't gotten their act together with a viable, comprehensive immigration reform. And when those at the very top want to classify the entire group as murderers, rapists, oh, and some of them are good people, that chases them away from our side. We give them no place to go. So I'm not somebody who looks at every Democrat policy and says, oh, evil, they're doing it for the vote or for this. I happen to believe there's a lot of kind-hearted, well-intentioned Democrats out there. I will disagree with many of the programs they want because I don't feel that they understand the unintended consequences of those programs. And as I've articulated, that it takes away states' authority when the federal government does it, and that takes away representation. But, you know, for people who sit here and tell you that Democrats are evil because they want universal health care or because they want social programs or child tax credits or things like that, none of that computes for me. I see good, honest, hardworking people who want to help other people out, and they've decided it's the role of the federal government to do that. I disagree with whose job it is and whether or not it's constitutional. But I respect and understand your desire to help the needy, to help the immigrants. I mean, if we could just spend some time and learn the stories of these immigrants and what they're fighting for and do something that we all refuse to do, and that's put ourselves in their shoes. I mean, which one of us can say that if we were born into dire circumstances, if our children were starving, if our government was corrupt, which one of us can say honestly in our heart that we wouldn't go north and try? Which one of us can say that? So I think that, you know, one of the biggest problems we have with the extremes is they dehumanize those people who are involved in the issue. And if you take a look at liftpolitics.org, this organization we've set up over the last year, you'll see that one of our guiding principles is that no honest solutions can be found in dehumanizing or mischaracterizing those on the other side. We need to humanize every issue. But that's not the call of the day. The call of the day is to put a label on it and then explain it away, and then you don't have to deal with it. And if you can convince everybody on your side that the other side is all extreme, all ulterior motives, all evil, then you don't ever have to win in the arena of ideas. You don't ever have to justify your beliefs. You don't ever have to have truth on your side anymore, because you've whipped everybody up into a frenzy, and then you can control them. And I think that we watch that happen in this country, and it's still happening. And yes, it's happening on both sides. Mike says, I can't believe you just went there. Talk about taking comments out of context and spreading lies. Trump did not call illegal immigrants rapists. He said there's murderers, they're rapists, and some of them are good people. I think, Mike, that's almost the exact quote, isn't it? Isn't that almost the exact quote? If somehow I didn't get it exactly right, or are you doing what my kids are doing and focus in on one little thing? Let's see here. Since we're down the rabbit hole anyway. Why not? That's what the internet's for. Let's see. Oh, wow. There's actually more than one time, believe it or not. Let's see what this one says.
Say yes to
we got a commercial. Hang on. Let's let the commercial play here. Oh, Mike, you're just sharing one of the quotes. Just one of them. So sometimes he actually said it where he didn't emphasize that. But there are other quotes where he did. Remember, he didn't just say this one time. So let's see here.
The list of companies and organizations backing away from Donald Trump is growing this morning.
I don't know if this is the one.
Retail giant Macy says it will pull Trump's clothing line over his controversial comments about Mexican immigrants. Professional golf groups are also criticizing his views, but Trump is not backing down. Nancy Cordes is in Washington with the growing fallout. Nancy, good morning.
Good morning. And now New York City's mayor, Bill de Blasio, says he's reviewing Trump's contract with the city. But Trump says his critics are simply weak, and he's being rewarded for his views in the polls.
Somebody's doing the raping, Don. I mean, you know, somebody's doing that. You think it's women being raped. Well, who's doing the raping?
Mm-hmm.
Who's doing the raping?
In an interview with CNN last night, the real estate tycoon turned presidential candidate doubled down on his controversial comments about Mexican immigrants.
So you have to be very careful defending Trump
White House bid
because he
speaks drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
On Wednesday, Macy's followed NBC.
They're rapists.
Lead,
did you see that?
Severing ties with
did you hear it?
There. Saying, in light of
even that quote,
by Donald, the billionaire,
he says they're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Values,
he didn't say some.
Discontinue our business relationship.
And this is something he continued, hang on, over and over along the campaign trail to say. So I'm going to stand on this particular claim here, Mike. Still waiting for you to acknowledge that. That you completely misrepresented what the what was said by what's her bucket? And I never said He said they were all rapists. I said he said they were murderers, they were rapists, and some are good people. That's what I said. You can go back. I'm on the tape tonight. You can check that as well. Let's see here. His whole speech is there, but you heard it right there. He said, they're rapists. So if you want to somehow, say that's not what I said, Mike says you're giving all the leeway to Walensky, but doing what you claim I'm doing. No, I'm not. Go back to my statement. I said, he said they're murderers and they're rapists. That's in your exact quote. Right? So, and Trump, given the opportunity to say that's not what he meant, he doubles down every single time.
President Obama won two big electoral college victories, taking states like Nevada and New Mexico, moved them from battleground into blue states, the state of Florida.
Let's see here. I'll find you some more. I had a reel back in the election of all the times he said it. Let's see.
Unbelievable when you look at what's going on. So all I'm doing is telling the truth.
I read the Washington Post. I read the Fusion. I read the Huffington Post. And that's about women being raped. It's not about criminals coming across the border or entering the country.
Well, somebody's doing the raping, Don. I mean, you know, somebody's doing that. You're saying it's women being raped. Well, who's doing the raping?
That's him doubling down. So when asked to clarify his remarks, he doubles down. When Walensky is asked to clarify her remarks, she's not going to double down on what you said. Nothing that I said here tonight is not true. I told you what he said. Nothing that I've said is not true. What you said about Walensky is 100% false. David says, yeah, that one was most disturbing. So now Mike wants to look at the crime statistics going back through the last 10 years. So are you justifying his statement now? My whole point is that if you look at crime statistics for illegal immigrants, you will find they commit crimes at a lower rate than Americans do. That's the last study I saw. It's been years since I've seen that, though. Mike says, worst journalist of the year is an actual award. That dude won. LOL. Walensky said what she said, and the spin and backpedaling now because Fauci flipped it. It's not true. Go and watch her entire interview. You want me to go and watch all of Trump? What I said Trump said, he said. What she said, she wasn't talking about all of the vaccinated. Trump was talking about all immigrants. It's simple. Sebastian says, don't try open the eyes. People don't want to see the true. The true about Trump represents dishonesty and dictatorship. Look, anybody who's been following me, you know that when Trump was right, I stood with Trump. Trump is actually right now when he's talking about the vaccine and the booster. And he's getting hell for it. But he's absolutely right. And he got the booster, and he's actually facing political backlash for being right. So anybody who joins me on this program, you know that I am not all anti-Trump, that I call him like I see him, right? And my whole point about what he said about immigrants is that when you lead with that, when you cast an entire group of people that way, you are leading with fear, hatred, and anger. And instead of acknowledging that and either agreeing or disagreeing with that, you want to dispute how I've characterized his statements. But Trump always led with fear, hatred, and anger when it came to illegal immigrants. And in fact, he led with fear, hatred, and anger anytime people disagreed with him. He promoted anger and hatred and violence. Because that's his style. And my point is that true leadership, leadership that has been considered great in this country, always seeks to speak to humanity and unification. He does just the opposite. Yeah, can you dispute that he is not leading with fear, hatred, and anger when it comes to illegal immigrants? That was his play. And that's why I brought it up. Walensky's play was to try and convince people to get vaccinated. Was she inarticulate about it? Yeah, she was. But for you to suggest that that's the same as Trump being perfectly articulate about how he feels about illegal immigrants, peddling fear, hatred, and anger. So you want to say that they're somehow the same? That's nonsense. It's nonsense. When Trump was asked about it, he doubled down. You want to spread truth about what Walensky was saying? Go and watch the whole interview before you spout it. Trump, in his words, deeds, and policies, believes what he said in that clip. And I don't believe you're ever going to solve illegal immigration if your play is to convince everybody and to lead out with murder and rape, as opposed to the truth. The truth is the vast majority are coming because they're starving, because they fear for their lives, because they want their children to have a better life. Something like 100,000 children without parents presented at the border. Imagine what those parents are going through. Imagine the choice that they're making. And you're going to lead out with murder and rape? You're never going to solve a problem that way. That is language designed to gin people up. That is not language designed to solve a problem. I'll give you another example. You'll love this one, Mike. President Biden's speech about election fraud, about January 6th. He used a broad brush and he used language that portrays all Republicans as those who carried out the insurrection that day. He was wrong to do that. Those people who have come out against his statements are correct. He was wrong to do that. To somehow suggest or imply that that was the will or intent. He's not going to bridge any divides that way. You cannot lead out if you want to unify a nation by somehow suggesting that an entire part of the population is complicit or responsible in the events that day, when the reality is it was about 800 or 900 people, many of them just caught up in it, not understanding what was going on, just caught up in it. It's just like when we want to deal with issues around race in this country. If you want to imply that everybody fighting for race is a rioter and was out committing violent acts on the streets all last summer, then you are not somebody looking to solve the problem. You are somebody looking to inflame, to incite. When you realize that the vast majority of people who are out protesting on every single night were peaceful. But if we don't want to deal with it, if we don't want to be confronted by it, then we slap a label on it. We take the absolute extremes of that group. We paint the entire group under those extremes. And then we've ginned people up to fear, hatred, and anger. And then they'll donate to us. They'll keep us in office. We become more and more divided every single day. And no solutions are found, because we're not looking for solutions. That's not the play. The play is to divide. because division equals power. Fear and hatred equal power. I promise you, anytime somebody leads out with the worst of a particular group, their play is not unification. Their play is not good leadership. Their play is division, political power from division. And you know what? It can be done with any group. That's what's so sad about it. You can find among any group a percentage of murderers and rapists. Yeah, you can. So, are we going to be honest about it? Are we going to support people who are honest about it? Or are we going to lead out with the worst? That's what we do nowadays. Let's see. Did somebody bring up Epstein? Did Orion bring up Epstein? What is this? Mike says, Orion, there is zero evidence that Trump had anything to do with Epstein other than kicking him out of his hotel, taking a flight on one of his smaller planes from Florida to NOC, and that was a logged flight. Oh, no, he took pictures. What did he do? Well, I wouldn't classify that as zero evidence. There is evidence that he did associate with Epstein. So I wouldn't say that's zero evidence. There is no evidence that he committed any crimes, but there is evidence that he associated with Epstein, right? I know a lot of people were hoping that this whole Maxwell trial would turn into, you know, all of these people going down, and there were these conspiracy theorists that that's why the heads of social media were stepping down, and it's a bunch of nonsense. If Maxwell was going to give anything up, well, maybe now that she's been convicted, she might give some stuff up, but it doesn't appear like anybody else is going to be held accountable except for the prince over there in the UK, who's been stripped of his titles, and the evidence against him is a picture and the accuser making those allegations. That's the evidence against him. We are really down the rabbit hole, you know, if we're going to Epstein and things like that. I choose to judge people based upon what can be proven, what they have said, we'll go from there. Ryan says, yep, that's a lot of pictures. You can pee on our legs if you want, Mike, but you can't tell us it's rain. I will tell you this, Mike, if you ever want to know the true character of Trump, track down his interviews. Hundreds of hours of interviews with him and what's his bucket? The extreme radio DJ. Why can't I think of his name? You know who I'm talking about? Long hair, sunglasses. Trump revealed so much stuff that would have so many of his supporters blushing. I mean, you know, I have no, you know, I understand if you look past a man's, you know, dirty deeds, but let's not pretend like they weren't there. And the statement Trump did make about Epstein, it did seem to indicate that Trump knew about Epstein's preferences. But again, I'm not gonna stake my claim on anything like that. I've got plenty of reasons to share with you why Trump was not a good leader. He did do some good things, and he destroyed most of that with his election fraud claims and with his COVID leadership. I truly believe that if Trump would have taken the opportunity to lead during the pandemic instead of to downplay, I think it would have nipped in the bud all of the conspiracy stuff that happened after. Okay, not all, but a good portion of it. We talk about ivermectin right now, but what was the first ivermectin? It was hydrochloroquine. And remember how Trump treated hydrochloroquine. He was, during the whole first stages of the pandemic, downplaying, saying that the virus was going to go away without a vaccine, upplaying medications that had not been approved or studied. He started that process, in my opinion. And then now he wants all the credit for Operation Warp Speed, and I would like to give him the credit. And the poor guy's out there now saying, don't let them take the credit away. He's exactly right. Not understanding that he planted the seeds to the conspiracies. He was the farmer who planted those seeds so long ago. And now he's frustrated. And I've never seen a situation like it where you have such a clear accomplishment on the part of a president and a party, and they can't take credit for it. It's really sad. It's really sad. All right. Mike, are you ready to come out and admit that you misrepresented the Walensky claims, that you fell prey to the classic blunder? I hope you do. I hope you go back and take a look at how quickly we are willing to spread lies and misinformation. I hope you do. Because that's just a microcosm of everything going on. All right, any other comments? How long have we been doing this? An hour and a half. I never played the rabbit hole music or logo. And I never changed us to the rabbit hole background. There you go. Anything else you guys want to talk about tonight? I apologize to some of you. I didn't have as good control over the rabbit hole tonight. But, you know, some people said some things and they weren't true. And, you know, so I got fired up. And so then we had to go to the tape, you know. It happens. I feel like I've been better than I have in the past at controlling that. But sometimes, you know, I had just happened to have done all the research around Walensky and what she said. And so Mike came flying in, you know, and so I was ready to bear. I was loaded, ready to bear. All right, anything else, my friends? Please take a minute. If you're not a patron, if you're not a member of the JMAC Members Club, go to jmcfarland.com and subscribe. That helps me bring these broadcasts to you on a regular basis. I'm normally here with you live on Tuesday and Thursday nights, but because of some of the things I'm working on behind the scenes that I can't tell you about yet, hopefully within a few weeks, I may miss a Tuesday or a Thursday here and there. So please forgive me for that. I am doing some pre-recorded interviews that I'm going to share with you. I've got a lot of things that I'm excited about sharing with you. But with things going on, at least for the next 3 or 4 weeks, it's going to be difficult to do that twice a week. So hopefully you'll forgive me on that. And let's continue the quest for truth. But more than anything, let's start a quest for understanding. Let's stop letting the extremes of one side tell us what the other side believes. And let's actually start listening, start asking, start looking for common ground, start building upon humanity. Stop propping up those who perpetuate and peddle in fear, hatred, and anger. Let's put principles over party. Let's put facts over attacks. Hey, those all kind of rhyme. Let's strive for common ground. Orion says, the only thing I want to have Mike to review tonight is how immigrants, minorities, or other groups often become scapegoats for the failures of society. Well, it's very common. Find a group that you know that you can get some emotion out of. Attack that group. Create fear of that group. Create hatred. And then the people are ripe for manipulation. Remember, once again, all of the great moments in our history come from leaders who chose the opposite of fear, hatred, and anger. You will never solve the illegal immigration problem if you lead with murders and rapists. That should tell us all instantly that you're not out to solve the problem. You're out to get advantage from the problem. When you are truly seeking to solve the problem, you seek to understand the group you're talking about. You seek to hear from that group. You seek to hear from both sides. You seek humanity and common ground. And that's not what we're doing today, is it? We're doing exactly the opposite, my friends. Exactly the opposite. And we've seen examples of that here tonight. All right, I think that's all we got. Orion, good to have you back on the program. Mike, good to have you back. I know you have taken a break for a couple of weeks. So everybody, good to have you here with us. With that, I think my son wants to watch the Bucks Golden State game now that Klay Thompson is back. So that's where I'll be heading off of this. And other than that, happy Aloha Friday. Have a wonderful weekend. And hopefully I'll be back live with you coming up on Tuesday. If not, please forgive me. Just know it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it. I hope, at least. All right, my friends. Thank you so much. And have a wonderful night. Push the right buttons.